Attention, film school students, here are a few announcements. Item one, there is always a place in Hollywood for movies about kids with imaginary friends. Item two, sometimes those imaginary friends stick with them into adulthood. Item three, isn't that right, Mr. Honeybunny? Oh, and item four, if anyone can find the film school janitors on their lunch break, tell them it's time to review Amazon Prime's Ricky Sinicky.
A little story about a trio of janitors. Might have heard they worked at a well-known film school. They picked up a few things other than trash. They might hate your movie or if drunk think it's cool. Every now and then they get together for a lunch break. Trash talks a movie or TV or streaming. Rodney and Jason and Sean Bale clean house. If you listen close, you can hear kids screaming.
All right, so we are going to be talking about Ricky Sinicky. So weirdly, I was going through my phone looking for something else, and I keep notes of, like, story ideas and stuff. I had an idea in 2020 that I called Darren, and the idea was a guy keeps making up and blaming, like, a friend named Darren, and then one day this Darren, it was going to be more supernatural-ish, but this guy Darren shows up, and it's like, oh, yeah, I'm your friend. We did this. And he's like, what? You know how that? And then when this was announced, I kept going, oh, this sounds familiar. And it also does have, like, a long history to get made. But I'm like, I didn't have any access to that information, but I was like, oh, okay. I had this weird crossfire thing in my head when this came out that now when I found that note, I went, oh, that's why I thought it seemed familiar or like a good idea. But, which one do you guys want to take? Cause Jay, I normally throw it to Jay. Randa, why don't you, break down to the basic idea of this movie?
The basic idea of this movie is that you got three friends who created a persona of a character to use whenever they do something wrong or to get them out of things. So pretty much Ricky Sinicky is like this imaginary best friend that they use to get out or have to, you know, take care of certain situations. For example, I think it opens up with like they set a house, like a porch on fire or something.
Yeah, like the poop, the Halloween prank.
Right. And it was like, oh, we're just going to, so they don't think it's no kids here. They're going to think it's some guy named Ricky Sinicky. And then ever since then, you know, Ricky Sinicky has been ex-boyfriend and it's been all kind of weird stuff.
Yeah, like going away to get out of doing things with their significant others.
Right. Oh, yeah, like a baby shower.
Right. Like, boys trip. Oh, he's got cancer. We got to go.
He got cancer. Didn't he have cancer before? It came back.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what?
Like, honestly, I would give the credit to this is that they don't make movies like this anymore. It's, where these guys are fucking assholes.
Yeah.
I mean, we got Zac Efron. What's his name? Santino. Andrew Santino. So Andrew Santino is a guy that I've seen. There was a TV show that came on like forever ago called Mixology, and that was the first thing I saw him. And I go, this guy's good. He needs to be bigger. And he's just always floated around. He was like in Dave. He was like a secondary character in that. And I've seen him in The Redhead Guy.
Okay.
But the dude from Bad Friends.
Yeah, he's got a podcast back and forth with
Bobby Lee.
And they rip on each other back and forth.
Okay. It's amazing. I didn't know who he was before that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
He's very funny.
And he doesn't look it, but is he South American or something, isn't he?
He's probably, he could be Mexican.
But the red hair, I think he's
just
the
like
red
hair, just Louis C.K. is that too.
Yeah, yeah, but he's hilarious. Him and
Bobby Lee
going back and forth at each other, fucking hilarious. And for the record, the Chinese jokes or Asian jokes or Korean jokes he cracks at Bobby Lee.
Every day.
It's I'm an outside guy looking in and they rip each other apart and let them go.
Bobby, your mama.
And then the third friend is Jermaine Fowler. Did you recognize him from anything?
No.
I don't remember what he was from.
Coming to America.
Oh,
he played Eddie Murphy's son.
Oh, that's why he annoyed me. Okay, that makes sense now. He annoyed me for like a purpose. I couldn't like.
These three adult asshole friends, Bobby Farrelly, one of the Farrelly brothers, directed this. The guy, I'm pretty sure he's the one that directed Oscar winning, or Peter Farrelly, I should say, did Green Book, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. He has directed an Oscar winning best film, and then this is one of his follow-ups. But the three guys, like you mentioned, Randall, at the start of the movie, they're supposed to be at a baby shower for Andrew Santino's wife. They go to Atlantic City because they have a chance to see a musician that was a DJ who's a real DJ.
Yeah.
I always watch these certain things and they'll say something. I'll go, that's a made up person. Then I look it up. I go, oh, that's somebody real. Okay. But wife goes into labor early and then all the things kind of start unraveling to where they need to prove that Ricky Sinicky exists.
the mom-in-law or whatever just keeps calling him fucking out left to right about Ricky Snicky being... I guess she's right, but she's irritating.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like a weird old school where we're rooting for these asshole guys, but she's the voice of reason. Right. They keep stepping on her neck, basically, every time she tries to call him out. But all that being said and done, Ricky Snicky, that character is played by John Cena. So he's an actor they meet in Atlantic City.
Atlantic City, yeah.
And he's an impersonator. What was his name?
Atlantic City's in New Jersey, right? Uh-huh. All right, I get confusing people. So not in Nevada. I was wondering how they drive. I was like, how do you drive in Las Vegas and back again? No, that's what it is.
Okay. Yeah, what was that, like Rock Hard Ron or something like
Rock
that?
Rock Hard Ron, yeah.
So all he does is dirty spoofs of 80s music in costume.
Right, and 90s music, because he did Britney Spears.
Yes.
Yeah. In costume.
In the Hit Me Baby One More Time costume.
He is such a wide man. Like, when he puts on his clothes, he looks like SpongeBob trying to dress up. The motherfucker's just square. His body is fucking square.
I thought, honest to God, top to bottom, he was the highlight of the movie, because he was a kind person. He tried to fulfill this role. They gave him this.
The dedication he gave to being Ricky Stenicki.
They had a Bible, which had all the things.
And he studied the shit out of it.
And then he studied everything else around it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, he gave up drinking because he really wanted this job.
Because Ricky didn't
drink. Which was also a funny scene.
Because Ricky didn't drink.
Right. But the scene when he's having the withdrawals on the airplane. Like, John Cena... They made this movie watchable.
Well, because it's
you did not like. Go ahead. Say your piece.
Go ahead. Okay. All right. Okay. I think the movie is almost 16 years too late.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I think it's trying to blend into a genre where if it came out at the right time, it would have been the lower of those films that came out at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds really bad. I think it's
progress. We've made progress as a society.
Yeah. Right. I think it blends in with those movies, but I think it gets lost with those movies in early 2000. Yeah. I think it tries to be those movies, tries to blend those movies, but I think it's one of those movies that get lost. It's not something you go back and go, oh man, Step Brothers is amazing, or blah, blah, blah. It's one of those ones that I'm sure exists out there that we've never heard of, that if it came out of that timeline, it would have got lost in the shuffle. It's kind of cool because we are seeing it in 2023 where I miss that kind of humor. Because it hasn't been around for 23 years. Mm-hmm. And it's stuff I used to laugh at, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now I watch it and I'm not laughing at all until some parts you do, like John Cena. I like seeing him in comedy ever since he was in that breakup.
Amy Schumer movie.
Amy Schumer movie, which I fucking...
Trainwreck.
In the theater, the sex scene. Like, he lifted that movie and ran with it. That movie still... It's only tolerable because of him.
Yeah.
And when he did that, I wanted him seeing his big ass square SpongeBob looking ass.
Well, even remember when he tried playing the bad guy brother in the one Fast and the Furious movie? Yeah. It was like, oh, it's not fun.
But then the
next one.
He's the kid tie-in, right? And it's perfect.
And it was great. Like, I would have watched an entire movie of
John Cena is not a... The persona doesn't come off as an asshole or a bad person. They need to keep having him do those roles, and I'm okay with that. It's almost like his body isn't built for what his brain does. Mm-hmm. they're competing with each other, whatever's going on with them.
Well, what it was he was on Howard Stern. I think he comes from a big family, and he's just always valued the coach, like whoever the coach is, whoever's supposed to be teaching him what he's going to be doing. So that's how he got into football, like in high school and stuff. And when he got to the WWE, like he took all the... Okay, what do you have to teach me? What do you have? So he's kind of that person, like a people pleaser, but not in a negative people pleaser way. Very much like this character.
People would have said, well, the people pleaser thing is very spot on for him, I think, because there was a time where he came out and he called Taiwan a country.
Mm-hmm.
And then China came back. Fast Furious 10 was dropping.
Yep.
And he gave this whole thing in Mandarin, and people called him like... They called him names. Oh, I can't believe you're giving in to China like that and everything, too. But I think it falls under the people pleaser thing. I don't think it was like, he didn't think, like, he just didn't want people mad or upset, right? That's his only mentality. He didn't do anything on purpose. He's not saying it's not that. He's not saying it is that. He's saying shit didn't mean to fuck shit up for people. And I think somebody called him like a Vin Diesel and go, you trying to make us make $80 million less in this movie? Oh, I'm going to cost you that much? Dude, I'm really sorry. That's not what I was trying to do. And he probably thought of all the other actors, everybody else that's involved in a film that does that film, how many people would be affected by that?
Uh-huh.
So he went out and did that video, and people give him a lot of shit about it. But I'm sure he got a call and said, dude, you're going to affect these 400 people that worked on this movie and put all this time and money into it because you talked off the cuff on an interview. So he came out in Mandarin and spoke. And which I thought, I think he's probably like, it doesn't come up, but I think he's like highly, he's got to be highly intelligent, right?
Well, even the
fact to learn that Mandarin that later, that late in life.
Well, he could have read a prepared statement and just
learned. He said he knows.
Oh, he does know.
He knows it, but he's not perfect at it. But, okay. But there's a lot of people that watch the video of him doing it. His dialect, everything like hits on.
But I was going to say, he also does like the Make-A-Wish. Like he's the
more,
number one.
More Make-A-Wish than anyone walking this earth. So that's awesome.
He does.
Over like, I don't know how he found time for it, to be honest. So on top of everything else he's doing. I like what the movie was trying to do. I guess that's all I got.
Well, no, to me, so to me, he was enjoyable watching him do his musical bits, all the song spoofs were fun. I laughed out loud at a couple of them just because it was just so over the top. I liked his commitment in the role, but as the movie kept going, I kept going. And then they're showing the type of job that Andrew Santino and Zac Efron have, and I'm like, fuck this job. And then the other one, Jermaine Fowler's character's an artist. So
He won't get a job.
Well, I liked their relation, like him kind of talking like, well, what kind of book do you want to write? Don't write what you think that, you know, like I liked their.
Well, he gave them the person they knew was there all along, but they refused to be. He gave them Ricky to Nicky, right?
Yep.
That person that friendship needed, they needed a nicer guy. They needed a guy to support them. They needed a guy that actually did all those nice things.
Oh, yeah, because they would say like, oh, we're going to Greenpeace and doing this thing.
So they knew the things they had to do to be better people, but they never did those things because they were living those things through him, and they made this character up that they know should have been there the whole time. And
that's a good take on it.
And out comes Ricky to Nicky teaching them how to be a better person, but they already knew that the whole time. They already knew how to be. They just refused to see it. Hence why him sitting down telling them to write the book and do all that. They already put all that shit in the book. They already knew
that.
But that
one friend
stuff
was really slow. Like he ruined. Oh, like he ruined
the writing. The writer.
Jermaine Fowler.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I could not stand.
I was a little upset about how the part he refused to work, but his significant partner was working and he kept pushing out. I'm like, why would you make that character like that? I was a little upset about that. Yeah. I get he's a writer. Why couldn't he do something else while he was being a writer? Why did he have to be the one sitting around the house playing video games? But I get it. There's probably always a friend group, somebody that won't motivate themselves enough and just wants to play video games all day. I get that too. I don't know. I feel like it's 20 years too late. And if it would have came, it tries to be your hangovers and your everything and blend it all in one.
And even the end of the film, I feel like it just fall like the last 30 minutes fizzles out. I'm like, none of this is even logical because he's trying to do a merger.
He becomes Ricky Stenicki.
Like all his stuff is fine, but the plot of the movie is that the company that Zac Efron and Andrew Santino work at is trying to get a merger with William H. Macy's company. And
speaking of him,
there was
Randall's favorite part was dicks.
Yes.
Air dicking.
That was the only thing that made me laugh the whole movie.
Remember, he's telling me he's talking.
Every
time, like,
I'm mad you just made me do that for the record to my face. I had to show
him. My powers are unlimited.
William H. Macy's like, the only reason nobody listens to you because you keep air dicking yourself.
He's like, what is that? Look at that. He's like, oh, no, now I'm double fisting.
I think, and that's those little things like your, not just,
he's outside
bad,
the box.
But Superbad has a little things like that in there where you can pull something from a movie like that.
But like at the beginning of the movie, the red haired dude, I keep forgetting his name, but he had like this whole monologue where he was just saying obscene things. And like it was like these gross things that he was saying. And I was just like, you could have went through this whole 10-minute monologue without saying like anything. And you got the same reaction. Like, I was like, what are you trying to accomplish by saying these words that you're
which
just
trying to... Who was doing that?
The red-haired dude.
Oh, Andrew Santino, yeah.
Yeah, like, he just kept trying to say this, like, outlandish, you know, nasty jokes and stuff, and I'm just like, eh.
And then Zac Efron, his girlfriend, was, like, a reporter, and he's, like, letting her hang out to dry because she was going to try to do Hero of the Week, which she caught on pretty early. I did like
that. Yeah, I like that she didn't let them know, but she caught on because, of course, I'm a reporter. What'd you think I was going to? Of course, I was going to find out.
Yeah, she's, of course, going to find out.
If I'm a good reporter, I'm going to find out. So,
yeah.
I think this movie, you can tell a lot of people in this movie grew up on those late 1990s and those early 2000 movies. They grew up on those and they're trying to channel those, but it's not those.
Right.
It's not.
And again, like I said, this has been going. Let me see if I can find where, 2010. The original time this was started was James Franco was attached to play the title role.
Oh.
And then, let's see.
That makes sense.
And then Joaquin Phoenix was also considered at one point.
What?
Jim Carrey in 2013 was considered.
Wait, how long have they been making this movie for?
2010.
It's been in development. It's been on like the blacklist from 2010.
Probably would have hit a little better then. And probably because the atmosphere you were in, you probably would have had different jokes that would have hit a little better.
Like this one, I feel like this could have worked more if it did go, old idea, but let's have more comeuppance for these main guy, like yeah. more reality into it a little bit. Like you can have this hyper reality Ricky Stenicki character, mm-hmm. but I would have put more reality for the other characters. It was fine, but it fell apart. It definitely fell apart in the end because everybody was just being an asshole for the sake of the story, you know? But you don't recommend it then, Rodney?
No. When there's 50 million other ones in early 2000 you can grab and watch on any streaming device or $2 anywhere else you want to grab and watch it and get a lot better. And there's going to be stuff in those movies that they wouldn't dare crack nowadays. That's going to make you slightly uncomfortable, but it's going to hit nice because that's when they were made. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it's going to hit different. And I think you should spend your time doing that. Yes.
What about you, Randall?
Culture yourself a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people said that they thought it was good. I mean, it was a hard watch for me.
Mm.
You know, like I got bored and then I watched Hanky Panky again.
Yeah. I might actually call Jay then and have him kind of, without knowing what we said, I'm going to have him kind of say it. I might tack it on at the end here.
What'd you think of it, Sean? You asked us.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I didn't hate it, but the ending kind of fizzled out for me. But I enjoyed it mostly because I like John Cena, and John Cena, to me, carried the whole movie.
He did. He really did.
Oh, we mentioned that the hitman, they were after him the whole movie.
Oh, yes.
We didn't talk about that.
We didn't talk about that at all. Yeah. That's what motivated him to take the job and go there with them.
Right.
And not want to go back home at the end.
Because, I mean, how he introduced, he was like trying to bum drinks off of him. He's like, hey, friends, how you doing? Want to buy your friend a drink? Like, get out of here. Shoo, shoo.
Yeah, and then the two guys that were chasing were actually lawyers for Billy Idol saying cease and desist using his song.
Yeah.
And then he was like, because Billy, and he was like more excited that Billy Idol actually saw his show. But he legally changed his name to Ricky Stenicki. And then at the end, he does tell the guys, like, oh, hey, we're going to go, you know, to do this good deeds thing. And like, okay, cool. And he goes, no, we're really going to do that. So, like you said, ultimately, he became that
character.
He was such a weirdo that he became the real
version. Well, because
of
who
that.
He was, he didn't like anyway. And they mm-hmm. gave him someone to be. And it makes sense for him because he put all the study and the time into it, so it was easy for him to transition right into that person.
Yep.
He had his ID change and everything too. And I love the Billy Idol people; they look like Russian mobsters.
Yeah, like
and they, tall. you never could hear them talk. Right, that was on purpose. Yep. Right, your brain stereotyped them. Right,
uh-huh. It did.
Just
it
like
really
his
did.
Brain stereotyped them. He's like, oh, some Russian mob hitmen are coming to take him out. And the movie's fun. It is fun with that. Listen, it was an okay movie, but there's better options out there. But I do love John Cena. So.
Yeah. Yeah, if you like John Cena, you'll like this movie. Yeah. Zac Efron, I still say go watch Iron Claw for a modern era of him. Or go back to, what was the one where he switched places with his dad? Or he became the young version with Matt Perry? Remember that one? Was it 18 Again? Was that it?
Oh, it's...
something like that.
Oh, I've actually seen that too long
ago. That was a good movie. I think it's Matt Perry turns into the younger self, which is Zac Efron, which does not necessarily track, but... Then he goes back to high school to try to get closer to his daughter, and then his daughter has a crush, which is weird, but that's those, again, that early 2000s era movie. But anyway, I didn't mind it. It was not like a movie sometimes when we see him so far in advance to when we talk about it. I'll go, I'll put it on again. I didn't feel like putting it on again, but yeah. And I'll get Jay's opinion and we'll tack it on here.
Me and Kel sat back and had some drinks and watched it. So she laughed. I heard she laughed a few times too. John Cena makes some stuff. He made it some stuff very, very tolerable in this movie. I don't know if the friends hit well. You're right. I think you had a problem.
They were assholes. They were assholes.
Even somebody like a Zac Efron that should be standing out, he didn't stand out in this movie.
He didn't stand out at all.
And
I was like, you know, I keep getting his name, but the redhead dude, I thought, I was like, oh man, this is going to be great.
Right, because we like him, right?
We like him when he do his podcast. Then he started talking. I was like, oh no.
Right. Yeah.
This is not turning out good.
Yeah. So. Even making them not as morally dubious, you know, like,
maybe they, when this movie was written in 2010, you're right, they had three other people involved in these roles. Because it's outside, they found modern three other people to fit those three roles,
mm-hmm.
and they don't hit as well.
Yep.
That's exactly what happened.
The funniest thing I know about this movie was the end of the movie when Bobby Lee, when they all came to the podcast, Bobby Lee said, fuck you guys, y'all didn't put me in the movie.
Yeah,
that was the most funny thing.
How do you put him and not put Bobby Lee in there? Some kind of, I think Bobby Lee said he would even play like a racist Korean guy or something like that. Like he said, he goes, you can put me in there for anything. I would have played this. I would have played Chinese. I would have played anything. Like he was coming out and saying,
I could have been the guy who did the Red Robins commercials.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot about that guy too. I know you from somewhere. And then he hid from him. The whole time he hid from him. Oh, I know you from. Oh, you're from the commercial. That's how I know you. So he hid from him for no reason.
Yes, because yeah. He thought he knew him from the acting world. Yeah.
So this movie, the pacing could have been a little better,
too. The pacing was a big problem.
Because if I could talk about these jokes like this now, like we just did four jokes in a row and laugh about them, the pacing to those or after those didn't hit right, right?
Like there's another scene that's not far from there, because I already knew it was going to happen. When they was trying to drug the guy, because you know Ricky, they was like, he's like, oh, he know the Red Robin guy.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, the priest.
And then the priest come, and but I knew it was going to happen.
He drugged him.
Yeah,
shooting into his mouth. Who's not going to look at something going in their mouth first of all?
Because they're basically trying to drug Ricky Stanicky, right?
Drug the Red Robin guy.
The actor, because they wanted to keep him away.
So and they're like, throwing, catch one in your mouth. They're playing catch the nuts in their mouth or whatever. And then one's a sleeping pill.
Sleeping pillars. No, it was like acid or something.
No, it was just like a sleeping pill. It was supposed to knock him out. Like
ketamine or something.
It was ketamine.
But you can tell like it was a pill. Like somebody's just not going to. First of all, you got to catch it in your mouth so you can see what the fuck it is.
And then Jeffrey Ross played the rabbi, so he comes by. He does like this dive in front and catches it. So now he's doped up for the baby's circumcision. And then that's when Stanicky
does the circumcision. This movie's got...
with a cigar thing.
You're right. Maybe the pacing fucked it up for
it's
me.
It's pacing.
Because as we're talking about it now, there's a lot of stuff I did like, but it just wasn't hitting for me. Thinking about that more.
Because the guys are assholes. That's what took you out. So, all right. I'll get Jay's opinion and then back to it.
It won't matter.
Thanks for completing this course. For more lessons, follow the Film School Janitors on Instagram and Facebook under Film School Janitors and on Twitter under FS Janitors. Please rate and review this podcast wherever you may have found it, and feel free to email us at filmschooljanitors@gmail.com. Now get back to your studies.